Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program Let Us Reflect. Today our title is The Plague. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam say about the plague? What does the plague mean for believers and what does it mean for disbelievers? Is it something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What should be the response of the people if they ever face the plague? But before I discuss any of these things, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the importance of sending blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Whosoever sends blessings upon me once shall attain one qirat of reward, and qirat is equal to Mount Uhud." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Subhanallah, a mountain of reward just for sending blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam once. This narration is encouragement for believers. We should seek to attain as much reward as we can from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our desire to attain or accumulate righteous deeds in abundance is something which should be natural for us as believers. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we devote our time or some of our time to sending peace and blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam, salat ala nabi, or as we commonly refer to it in the subcontinent, durood sharif. What did our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam say about the plague? I would like to start this discussion by citing a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam mentioned in Bukhari. An Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha annaha sa'alat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam an itta'un. It is reported by Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha that she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam regarding the plague. فَأَخْبَرَهَا نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ كَانَ عَذَابًا يَبْعَثُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ فَجَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ رَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The words of the hadith are that the Prophet of Allah informed her that it was punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon whomsoever he wills. So this plague originally was punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But following that statement, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it mercy for the believers. فَلَيْسَ مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَقَعُ التَّعُونُ فَيَمْكُسُ فِي بَلَدِهِ صَابِرًا يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَنْ يُصِيبَهُ إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ إِلَّا كَانَ لَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ الشَّهِيدِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that the believing individual who remains in a city which is plagued or where the plague has spread and is patient in such a way, he knowing that no calamity shall befall him except for that which is decreed for him. So if a believer... Remember the statement before this was what? That it's mercy for the believer. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam explained how it was a mercy by saying that if a believer is in a city which is affected by the plague has spread, and he adopts patience, knowing that only a calamity that is decreed for him shall befall him, the reward that he attains is that his reward is equal to that of a martyr or a shaheed. So the hadith itself clarifies that if a believer is in a situation where he is affected by the plague, then the reward for him is equal to that of a shaheed, a martyr. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that something which is punishment for others, it becomes a means of reward for the believer. And this is part of divine mercy, or the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Nawawi talks about the plague, and he describes the scenarios of the plague, or what it actually looks like. He says that there is swelling in different parts of the body, and he also mentions that there is a severe irritation, like a rash type condition. And he mentions that the body can appear to be a dark or a black in tone, or very, very red in tone. And this creates a feverish kind of condition, a condition of panic within the person. Now, it's interesting he mentions all these points. We know in modern science now that the plague can be described in generally, when people say the plague, they mean the bubonic plague. In Europe, we have in the history of Europe, the Black Death, where, as described by Imam Nawawi, in the Black Death, the swelling that was seen in the bubonic plague, the lymph nodes swelling, different parts of the body swelling. This is something which is known in the bubonic plague. And also, there's another element to it, the septicemic element of the plague. And this is not so much the swelling, but the second part, or the latter part of Imam Nawawi's statement, where he said that the skin becomes black or red, and there's like a very severe rash. That may be that may allude to the septicemic plague, which is more blood clotting, or tiny blood clots, or tissue failure. So both elements have been described by Imam Nawawi, and we know in science that both of these types of plague occur. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection. If a believer is ever exposed to such a situation, then he knows that in the worst scenario of this situation, in terms of the result, for him there is reward. He is like a martyr in this situation. Allama ibn Hajar Asqalani alayhi rahmah, he writes in his Fathul Bari that the plague is mercy for the believers, and it is punishment for the disbelievers. And he says it's clear from this hadith that the fact that this is mercy for believers, this is obviously a special privilege, or this is specific for the believers. And in terms of the disbelievers, he says it's punishment before their punishment in the hereafter, meaning a punishment of this world from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hafiz ibn Hajar then continues, and he says that if the plague spreads in a certain region or a certain place, and a believer remains there with patience, accepting the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being content with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is given the reward equal to that of a martyr. And these elements are a condition for that reward, meaning that the fact that he is accepting the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adopting patience, and he is content with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he remains there with this kind of feeling of patience and contentment, and being content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the reward is for him. Meaning these elements are actually a condition for his reward. Allama Badruddin Ayni, he mentions that in one hadith it is reported that the one who dies in the plague, he is a martyr. And in the narration that we discussed, it was mentioned that the reward is equal to that of a martyr. So the way he harmonizes both of these traditions, or both of these hadith narrations, he says that the people who, when they are affected by the plague, or the believer who, when he's affected by the plague, he adopts patience in the right way, and he's content with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not complain in any way, and he dies, then his death is the death of a martyr. But if he survives and he doesn't die, but he expresses all those elements of patience, then his reward is equal to the reward of a martyr. In terms of the plague, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave clear instructions about how one should behave in terms of knowing about a region where the plague has spread, or if one is within a region where the plague has spread. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave specific advice or instructions regarding behavior when, or conduct when, one faces the plague, or one hears about a region which is affected by the plague. Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, and he reports that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you hear that the plague has spread in a certain land, do not go there. So that's the first instruction. The hadith continues. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, and if it spreads in your land, so where you are living, if it spreads there, do not flee, do not leave that land. So if, Allah forbid, the plague spread in the area a person is living in, then that person should not leave that area. This was the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for believers, we know that if it leads to the death of a believer, as long as he is patient and he fulfills the criteria or the elements related to the reward prescribed for such a person, then inshaAllah, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he shall either be a martyr, or if he survives, he will be given the reward of a martyr. A very interesting account is mentioned in Tafsir Ruhul Bayan. Once the plague spread in Syria, and the ruler of one of the rulers of the Banu Umayyah, Abdul Malik bin Marwan, he actually fled. So he took some of his soldiers and some of his servants, and he left the area due to the fear of death. When he, after leaving one night, he couldn't sleep, and he asked one of his servants or slaves to relate a story to him or tell him a story. It can seem quite strange, but it was common for the rulers that if they ever lost their sleep, they wanted to be entertained in some way or pass their time, they would often say to their servants or courtiers to relate stories to them. This slave was very intelligent, and he told a story which had a very powerful and obvious moral. So the story that he told was this, that once there was a fox who befriended a lion, and the lion, being the king of the jungle, would keep other beasts away from the fox, and no one would attack the fox because of the lion. So the fox was living happily in with the safety provided by the lion. One day, an eagle attacked the fox. So it swooped down and it tried to take the fox in its talon. The fox tried to evade the eagle as much as it could, and it came to the lion and it sought protection from the lion. The lion told the fox to mount its back. That's what the fox did. But the eagle still swooped down and took hold of the fox and flew away. As the fox was crying out to the lion said to the fox that, I can only protect you from the dangers of the earth, the dangers of land. Dangers that come from the sky, I have no power to protect you from them. When Abdul Malik heard this story, he understood that running away from the plague would not save him from death. If death was decreed for him, then it would reach him in some way or form, or there would be a means for death to reach him in any other way. So he, after hearing this story, Abdul Malik bin Marwan, he returned to the region, he returned to his palace, and he continued to stay there during this pandemic. The plague was something which was faced by communities in the past. Some of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum became martyrs by dying in the plague, were affected by the plague. So it's something which is part of our history, and it's something that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam mentioned, and he gave specific instructions regarding it. In fact, there is mention of the plague in accounts of the past, accounts of the Quran, which are mentioned in the Quran and hadith of the past. In the next example that I would like to share with you, it is reported about a man named Bal'am bin Ba'ura, who was a very pious, righteous man during the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. He was a scholar, a worshipper, an ascetic. He was such a powerful figure, or such a righteous figure, that he was described as being mustajab al-da'wat, meaning whenever he would raise his hands for supplication, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would answer his prayers, would accept his supplications. And such spiritual power that he was able to see to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was his spiritual condition, or the kind of saintly rank that he possessed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was also a scholarly figure, And when you say a scholarly figure, you might think, maybe Bal'am bin Ba'ura, he taught a few people or he taught the people of his tribe. He had thousands of students. Yes, thousands of students. It is reported about him that the ink pots present where he would lecture or where he would advise or he would teach, just those ink pots were 12,000. So 12,000 ink pots, meaning it's not necessary that every single person who attended his teaching or attended his sermons or lectures were people who were writing, but those who did were 12,000 in number. When the Prophet Musa alayhi salam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was given this command to perform jihad against the Jabbarin nation, he gathered the army of the Israelites to do this. This army was seen by the tribe of Bal'am bin Ba'ura. And they rushed towards Bal'am bin Ba'ura. They said, Musa is, he's amassed such a great army. So many Israelites are with him. They will come to our land as well. And they will exile us. They will banish us. They will take over our land. You need to pray against them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your prayers, accepts your supplications. You need to pray against them so they do not succeed and they do not exile us or banish us from our land. Bal'am bin Ba'ura refused and he said, how can I pray against the Prophet Musa? He is a prophet of Allah. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accompany his army and believers, people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I pray against him? The nation then began to cry in front of him. And they insisted, no, you must pray against him. We are, our lives are in danger. Our land will be taken. So just to calm them down, he said, I will consult. I will perform istikhara. I will seek an answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or a sign. And then I will let you know. Bal'am bin Ba'ura was clearly did not receive a sign of permission or did not receive any news as a permission to pray against Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, because obviously it was the wrong thing to do. So he told his nation, I have not received any such instruction, permission to do this, so I cannot do this. Now the nation resorted to giving him expensive gifts and offerings, and they came and they piled up all these different things in front of him and expressing their appreciation and really bribing him. Unfortunately, he gave in to this. Unfortunately, he was affected by the greed of wealth and the offerings that were presented to him, and he decided to pray against Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. For this purpose, he got onto his donkey. But as he was leaving with his donkey would stop. It kept on stopping, and he would strike the donkey to make it proceed towards the location, the mountaintop or the hilltop where he was going to express this supplication against the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And on one occasion, with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the donkey actually spoke to him and said to him, where are you going? Alas, O Bal'am, where are you going? Meaning, what are you going to do? Consider what you are going to do. But he was blinded by his greed. And even after such a clear sign, he did not refrain from this action. He went to the hilltop and he began praying against Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. The will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was such that when he would try to express a prayer against Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and the Israelites, instead of saying their names or mentioning them, he would mention his nation. So he would make a mistake when he would express this supplication. The nation called out to him and said, oh Bal'am, what are you doing? You're supposed to be praying against Musa and the Israelites, not against us. He said to his nation, I'm unable to do this. I tried to pray against Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, but something is overpowering me. It was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as soon as he said this, his tongue protruded. And it came down to his chest. He realized that this was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his punishment or signs of his punishment or signs of his rejection had become apparent in dunya. So he turned to his nation. And he said, my world and my hereafter has been destroyed. But I will tell you a way that you can affect the Israelites. He said, prepare women beautify women, make them adorn themselves and send them towards the Israelites. If even one of them commits fornication, performs this evil deed, then all of them will be affected, or they shall be defeated. So they did this. They prepared their women and they sent their women in towards the Israelites. One of the chiefs of the Israelites, he was affected by the beauty of a woman that he saw, and he said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, "Is this woman lawful for me?" Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, according to one tradition, said, "No, refrain from any sinful action. This woman is not lawful for you." But he did not refrain. He performed the sinful deed, and due to the sin of that individual, due to his immoral action, the plague spread among the Israelites. 70,000 people died before this punishment was lifted. So the punishment of the plague affected the Israelites due to the sin of one person. And in this plague, or during this punishment, 70,000 of them died before it was lifted. Bal'am bin Ba'ura remained in this state with his protruding tongue hanging near his chest, and he died without faith. There are many lessons in this account. Bal'am bin Ba'ura died in a state of disbelief despite spending so many of his years teaching the religion in asceticism, living a life of righteousness. But because of greed, he was blinded to such an extent that he was deprived of faith. The sin of one person can affect the whole community. So we should not think that if someone else is performing a sinful action, we should not try to stop them. We should try to stop and condemn sin within our communities so that the effects of that sin do not affect the whole community. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protects us, not just from the plague, but from all calamities, from all evil, from all sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be sincere. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.